So we're on Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, and we're up to the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah wants to set up the shear of Hotzah, the minimum shear of Hotzah, in the following two general categories. One is called Michael Behema, animal food, and the other is Michael Adam, human food, food for human consumption. So the majority of this Mishnah is going to deal with animal food. And what's the minimum amount?
Do you want air conditioning?
Yeah, if you have. What's the minimum amount that you carry in Rishus HaRabim, or you take out from Rishus HaYochanan to Rishus HaRabim, vice versa, for a Chiyuv Moleches Hotzah? So we're going to go through food, different kinds of food, that are edible for different kinds of animals. For example, hamotzi teven, if you're carrying straw. Now teven, he says, is hachelek hatachton shel hashibolim liachar shenikzeru min hasode. So he says that the kernels of wheat have a bottom kernel that goes underneath the shiboles, and then there's a top one. We're talking about the bottom one, and that's food for a cow. Kimlo pi para. Now a cow, relative to the next category, which we're going to get to, is a camel, has a small mouth, and the amount of tevin that you have to carry in order to supply the minimum is enough to put a mouthful of tevin into the mouth of the cow. Then we get to camel food, which is called otza. Otza is also a type of straw, but tevin shel kidneys. That's the straw that covers the legumes. And the shear, the minimum amount of otza, of this kind of straw, is kimlo pi gamal. This is food for a camel. Now, the camel has a larger mouth than the cow. So again, if we had time, but especially today we started a little bit late, I would quiz you on this. Where's the chumra and where's the kula? But I'm not going to bother with that, but I hope you'll understand that the kula now applies to otza. You're not going to be high for otza unless you carry out a larger amount of this tevin shel kidneys, because it has to fit the larger mouth of a camel. Now we have a third type of straw, which is called amir, and that's kashim shel shibolim. And this is food kimalo pi tle. The amount that would fit into the mouth of a lamb. The lamb has even a smaller mouth than the cow. So we're being even more machmir now. And then we get down to asavim, grass. Grass is food for a young goat, kimelo pi gdi. That's even a bigger chumra, because that's a mouth that's even smaller than that of the lamb. So the biggest kula here in the whole list so far is going to be otza, which is food for a camel, because the camel has the largest mouth of all these animals. The biggest chumra is going to be asavim, because the gedi has the smallest mouth. Then we get to alei shum and alei bitzolim. So if you have a garlic or an onion, it has a kind of a protrusion, something that you might call perhaps a stalk or a leaf. If you've seen an onion in its natural state, you know what I mean. When you buy, nowadays you buy the onions, they already cut off the olive. But in any event, Lachim, it's interesting, if they're still soft, then now we get to the first case, and for our purposes in this Mishnah, the only case of something that's fit for human consumption. So if they are moist, then you could actually eat them. And the shear for food for human beings, is, for the hotzah of foodstuff for human consumption, is called kigrogeres, a dried fig. However, yevashim, if these stalks of garlic or onions are dried, then they could no longer be fit for human consumption once they dried up, but you could feed them to a young goat. And as we said before, the mouth of a young goat is relatively very small, and that's called kimlo pi hagdi. Then the Mishnah says v'ein mitztarfim zem zeh. So let's say you take one species with another species, each one has less than the shear, the minimum amount, you don't combine them together to make up the shear, and we're going to see the sugi about this, it's not simple. And mitnei shelo shavu b'shiureim, since every single one of these different types of food has its own measurement, its own minimum shear, therefore they're different. Each one has its own shear, and therefore you cannot combine them. So we'll see the details as we go through the Gemara. First of all, the Gemara asks, "My otzah? What exactly is otzah? Tevin shel minei kitnios." As we said before, this is a straw that you'll find that covers various legumes. Ki asa Rav Dimi was one of the great Amoraim who took the Torah from Bavel, from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, and he transmitted the following statement: Hamotzi teven kimlo pi fara ligamal. Okay, now teven, which is the first case listed in our Mishnah, has a chumrah in that a very minimum amount would constitute a violation of hotzah, because it's enough to feed a cow. But his intention was not to feed a cow. He wants to feed a gamal. He wants to feed a camel. So here's the old objective versus subjective issue. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, objectively, the shear was set up for Tevin, and somebody would hide, and if you remember, we had a Matzliya discussion that he would store a certain amount, even a very small amount of Tevin, just to feed his cow. He doesn't need a larger amount of Tevin to feed his gamal. This particular subject wants to use the Tevin to feed a gamal, but that's irrelevant. Why? Because the shear of Tevin, objectively, is the shear of Pipara, and that's exactly what he carried out. Rabbi Shimon Alokish Omar Potur. Rabbi Shimon Alokish says, wait a minute, he did not bring out enough to accomplish his goal, because you don't have the amount of volume that would feed the camel, and he's Potur. Biur, till the next morning, after a night sleeping over it, as we say, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Hachi Litzafra Hadarbe. After a night of sleeping over it, the next morning, Litzafra, he rescinded his original position, and he now agrees with Reish Lakish that he's Potter, because this is what's called Lonis Kaima Machshavto. He did not fulfill his intention. He intended to feed his gamal, and he didn't have enough tevin to feed his gamal. Had he fed his cow, that would be fine. Omer Rav Yosef, Shaper Ovid Dehavid. Rav Yosef applauded the fact that Rav Yochanan now accepts the position of Reish Lakish Yepotah Dolo Chazi LeGamal, because he did not carry out enough of tevin to feed his gamal. Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Adrab, on the contrary, Kidmeikara, Mistava, Rav Yochanan's original position makes much more sense. Dachazi Lepara, meaning that Abaye claims that these shiurim for each particular species of food for animals, respectively, has its own shiur, its own chashivus, and will use the para in order to define the shiur for Tevin. Once we establish a shiur for Tevin, which is Kimoli Pi Para, I couldn't care less whether he's going to feed his cow or he's going to feed his camel. It's irrelevant. That's the amount of Tevin that a person would normally put away, put it in storage. He wants to feed his cow. Whether he wants to feed his cow or not is totally irrelevant. And at this point, the Gemara accepts Abaye. Eloki also Ravin. Now again, we mentioned Rav Dimi before. There were two greats from Eretz Yisrael who used to transport, they were travelers, the Torah from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. One is Rav Dimi and the other is Ravin. Hamotzi Tevin Kimlo Pi Paro LeGomel. It's exactly our case. He carries enough Tevin to feed a para, but he's interested in feeding a camel. Kuliamalo pligi de chayev. Everybody agrees in this case that he's chayev. Why? Because at this point, the Gemara is accepting Abaye's position, which was the original position and the view of Rabbi Yochanan, and he has the chashivus of the amount of Tevin, and therefore he's chayev, even though he wants to feed his camel. And therefore, kuliyamalo pligi de chayev. Ki pligi, what is the machlokes? The motzi ata kimlo pi para lipara. Now we have the straw that covers the legumes, which is very fine food for a camel. It's not a good idea to feed it to a cow. And he is now feeding his cow atza. How much atza would he need in this form of straw to satisfy his cow? He needs kimole pi para, and that's exactly what he carried. The ipcha itmar. But the shitos are just the reverse. Before we had it that Rabbi Yochanan was machmir, Reish Lakish was the mekil. Now it's the reverse. Rabbi Yochanan amar patur, and Reish Lakish amar chayev. And the Gemara analyzes. Rabbi Yochanan amar patur, achila al yedei adchak lo shmei achila. The fact that he wants to stuff his cow with bean stalks, if you pardon the expression, that's not the way you feed a cow. You know, he's going to get sued for mistreating his animals. It's al yedei adchak. You know, the cow has no choice in this case, so it's going to eat these bean stalks, but that's not what the cow usually eats. So that even though he fills up the cow's mouth with this quantity, he's going to be patur, because this is not food for a cow. Look, the man was desperate. You know, he didn't have Tevin to feed his cow, whatever the circumstances may be. Or he was stingy and he got a cheaper deal on Atza. So the man feeds Atza to his cow. And he fills up the cow's mouth. Even though this is not the normal way you feed a cow, but the cow will eat whatever you give it, and the cow, in this case, is going to eat atza, and it'll make bari nefashis on an atza, and that's enough to be chayev for meleches atza. Amir kimlo pitle, right, when it comes to this kind of straw, and again, we said that Amir, just to review, was kashim shel shibolim. Okay, kashim shel shibolim, and that's enough to feed a lamb, which is a relatively small small amount. The lamb has a small mouthful. Again, the Gedi has even a smaller mouthful. Varsanya kigro geres. There's a brisa that says that the shear of hotzah for amir is a grogeres, which is a dried fig. Idivi chad shiruhu. The Gemara answers that a dried fig is exactly the same as kimlo pi tle. Our Mishnah uses the terminology kimlo pi tle because our Mishnah wants to separate between our list of animal food as opposed to human food. So we're going to reserve the terminology of kigrogeres for human food. But here's the overlap. There's an exact equivalency here between the shear of amir to feed a tleh, lamb food, kashim shel shibolim, as we called it, and the shear of human consumption, which is grogeres. Now, alei shum v'alei b'tzolim, this is the overlap that sometimes could be eaten by human beings, and sometimes it's just food for the little goats, and it depends. Lachim kigrogeres, as long as they are moist, then they're fit for human consumption, and therefore the shear is a grogeres. Yaveshim, when they're dried, and it's no longer fit for human consumption, kimlo pi agdi, this is something that's good for goats. V'ein mitztarfim zeh im zeh, mipnei shelo shavu b'shiureihem. You cannot combine half of the shear of one species with half of a shear of another species because each species has its own shear. And as I indicated to you before when we learned the Mishnah, this is much more complicated than meets the eye. Why? Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Ein mitztarfim lechomer shebohem, aval mitztarfim lekal shebohem. So let's take it for an example in order to demonstrate what Rabbi Yossi has in mind. A very profound chiddush of Rabbi Yossi. Let's take the first two cases in our Mishnah, just as examples. We've got Tevin, and we've got Otza. Now the shear for Tevin is what we call Lechumra. And we're going to set up a minimum amount that would be enough to feed a para, which is a lot less than the shear of Otza, which is enough to feed a camel. The camel has a larger mouth. So let's say he doesn't have enough of a shear of Tevin to fit the requirement of Kimlo Pi Apara. Can I be mashlim the shear by adding X amount of Otza? And the answer is no. Why? Because that's called Mitztarfin Lechomer Shebahem. You want to set up Tevin, which is more chomur than Otza. You can't use Otza to be mashlim Tevin. But now we flip it around. What happens if you have a certain shear of Otza, but you're missing a little bit less, whatever, for the Melo Pi Gamal? So you've got 90% of the shear of Otza. Now he adds a 10% of Tevin. Then he's going to be chayev. Why? Because Tevin has a more chomer dika shear, because all you need is the amount to fit into the cow's mouth. So the Gemara asks Akasha. Okay, from this point on, Rabosai, and this has been our faith in Masechta Shabbos, we're learning Taris, we're going to be learning Kalim, Masechta Kalim. You know, they say that Daf Yomi is only 2/3 of Shas. Why? Because there's no Zrayim and there's no Taras, with the exception of Nida. But the truth is that I think most of Taras is here in Masechta Shabbos. So I think we're learning more than 2/3 of Shas. Anyway, Fek the Gemara v'chol d'lo shavu b'shiurayu mitztarfi. Are you telling me that there are exceptions to this rule? And you could have two different species that belong to two, have each one respectively have a different shear. And if it's going l'kal shebahem, you could be mitztarev look, right? So it means that you can take atzah, and let me just go over it one more time in my mind. You can take atzah, and you could be mashlin the atzah with tevin, fill in the blanks of the atzah with tevin, because tevin is more chamur. For Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Kalim, and now the Mishnah gives us an enumerated list of all kinds of different kinds of articles of clothing. We're going to have also mats, M-A-T, which is something that you lay on the floor to sleep on it or step on it. And in each one of this enumerated list, we have another specific shear of how large the object has to be in order for it to contract what's called Tumas Medrus. Tumas Medrus means a Zav Zava, a Nida or Mitzora sits on top of something, or lays on top of something, or leans on top of something and puts all its weight on it. And the Torah in Sefer Vayikra, of course, will give us all the laws of Midras Tuma. Now, we want to know when a Zav, let's say, sits or lies or leans on a piece of cloth, that's the first case in this Mishnah in Kalim, what is the minimum size of that cloth in order for it to contract the Tuma of Midras? And Midras is a very chavardika tumah. So you may remember that we discussed sheretz once. And as far as the sheretz is concerned, all you need is an arig of three etzbos. That's a real small patch. But here, when we're talking about tumas Midras, we're talking about something that the zav would lie upon. That's got to be a larger cloth. So habeged shlosha al shlosha. We're talking about 3x3 tvachim, which is much, much larger, as you can imagine, than 3x3 etzbos. Hasak. So in the parasha of Tumas Midras, we have another kind of a very heavy kind of clothing. It's made of goat's hair. It's called a sak. In English, it's called a sack. Okay. And the shear is arbal arba, 4x4 tefachim. Or, if you're talking about a hide, chamish al chamish tefachim, 5x5. Mapa, it's a map, which is made out of reeds, is shish al shish tfachim, 6x6 tfachim. V'tani Allah, and the Bryce embellishes that Mishnah, ha-beged v'asak, ha-sak v'ha-or, ha-or v'ha-mapot, mitz-tarfim zem-zeh. That if you're talking about the last few cases that were enumerated here, then we do have a tziruf. And let's understand that if you have a, just one second, if you have a beged and you want to be mitzaref it to a sack, so you're taking something that's more chamur, that only requires 3x3, and you're using it to complete the shear for a sack which requires 4x4. So instead, let's say you have 3.5x3.5 of goat's hair, you can weave into it a 0.5 tefach of let's say wool or linen, which is a beged. Or for example, are v'mapots, right? So the R is l'chumra, because all you need is 5x5. You can integrate that to the case of a mapots, which is made of reeds, and you can make up this mapots, this mat, which is made up of two different shiurim. So far it sounds exactly like Rabbi Yossi Rav Chanina, except for the comment that's added here by Rabbi Shimon. V'yomer Rabbi Shimon my tam, why is it that we can combine these various shiurim? It's only for a different reason. Which means, the classic moshav for the transmission of Tumas Midras is what we call a mardas, some sort of a cloth that's put on top of a saddle. So now you have a zav who's riding a mule, for example, and he sits on a saddle, and to separate his bottom from the saddle, or maybe the saddle from the back of the mule, he adds a cloth or some sort of a sack. Now, in the case of a saddle cloth, they weren't careful about separating different kinds of species. Whatever they found, you know, materials here, materials there, they would combine them together to create this, you know, this patch or this piece of cloth for the mule. So therefore, Reb Shimon says that since we have a case where we combine these materials together, in the case of this patch on a mule saddle, and therefore it's metame betumas medrus, that's why we could be mitzarif, we can integrate the shiurim. Taima deruim litame moshav, the Gemara now analyzes. Reb Shimon, in interpreting this brisa, says that the only reason we can be mitzarif shiurim is because in the real life makoy, we have a tziruf of these shiurim. Avo ein roi litami moshav, if we don't have something that a zav would normally sit on that has the various different types of materials combined, lo, it would not be susceptible to tumas medrash. And therefore, the Gemara is challenging Rabbi Yossi by saying, Rabbi Yossi, how can you even think of combining different species of animal fodder, of animal food? We never combine them together. Amar Rava. And here we take a look at, just one second, at Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Hachinami Chazya L'dugma. So imagine you're in the business of selling animal food. So what do? You have a dugma. Dugma means you want to put out samples of all different types of animal food. And not only that, some animal food is heavier than others in terms of the physical heaviness. And the wind could come and blow away your different dugmaot, your different species, your different samples. So what you do is you pile one on top of the other. And here's a case where we combine different kinds of animal feed together. And this is part of his advertising, and therefore it's considered royal itztar. And this leads us to the last Mishnah in Periklal Gadol. Hamotzi ochlim, if you're taking out human consumption, what's the shear of chiyuv otzah ki grogeres, a dried fig, and chayef he's chayef for that mitztarfim zem zeh. All different types of human foods combined together in order to form a shear of ki grogeres. All foods have the same shear, and it's all part of one thing, and people combine different types of foods, and therefore the shear is going to be a grogeres that's mitzari from all different types of foods. However, now the Mishnah lists a whole bunch of exceptions, and these are parts of the food, like the brands and the kernels and so forth and so on, which are not fit for human consumption. The Gemara is going to have a lot to discuss about this, because in fact, sometimes we do eat bran and things like that. So chutz mikli pasam, when you want to know if you have the shear of a grogeres, don't calculate in that shear the shells, or the garin in the pits, or the okveim, the stems, or the subin, the coarse bran, or mursanin is the fine bran. None of this is really fit for human consumption. Again, we're going to have a discussion about this, so hang on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chutz miklipe adoshim shenis balshlos imoyim. There are certain kinds of beans, in English they're called lentil beans, where the shells are usually cooked together with the bean. And people like it that way. They eat the shells. So they eat the shells with the lentils. I've seen it in baked beans. I don't know if you ever see those, you know, the baked beans in the cans, you know, sometimes they still have the shell on top. So that shell is considered human consumption. We cook it together, and that's how we serve it, and therefore it's mitzarif to the shear. So the Gemara says, v'subin u'mursin in lo mitzarfi? You don't combine bran? Are you telling me that bran is not edible for human consumption, Vatnan. And here we're learning a different part of Shas, which is called Zroim. It's also not included now that I think about it, Daf Yomi is probably more 50%, but anyway, in Masechta Chala. Now, Masechta Chala, the Torah says, Reishis Arisos Seichem, this is in Parsha Shlach, and that means that you have to have a dough, and that dough has to have a minimum shear. Now the question is, do I include the bran that's mixed in with the flour, and that would give me the shear for challah? And in fact, the Mishnah says yes. The Mishnah says chameshis revoim kemach viod, right? The shear of an isa of a dough for a chiyuv challah requires chamish revoim, means one and a quarter kemach. Now this is measured by a kav, so you have one and a quarter kav of flour that will produce a dough that's chayav in challah, chayav mechallah, hein v'subin u'morson. And when we calculate this one and a quarter, 1.25 kavs, then we are going to calculate also the bran, any types of bran. And the Torah says that Reishis Ariso Sechem is the mitzvah of Hafroshas Challah, which is Lechem. So you see that the Lechem, as far as the Torah's definition, includes not just the kernels of grains themselves, but also the bran. Omar Abaye, Abaye says, Shekein Ani, Ochel Pito Be'iso Blusa. Abai says a lom de shachap over here. He says that there's a difference between the laws of challah and the laws of Shabbos. With regard to the laws of challah, the Torah calls it lechem, and the question is, can you call this lechem? And the poor person is, you know, he's going to pay a little bit less for unrefined flour that makes bread. It's a coarse kind of flour, and it's got bran in it. And he gets a cheap deal, because the baker, you know, he doesn't have time to get rid of all the bran. And he also beefs up, you know, the volume of his food. And the ani will, that's called lechem. The fact that aniyim will buy this bread, today it's even considered healthier to buy bran bread. And that's considered bread. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, here it's not a question of whether you're taking out lechem. It has nothing to do with lechem. Here we're talking about a shear that's worth it for people to carry, a minimum shear, and they don't consider the morson to be that significant that they would normally want to carry out the morson. Now the Mishnah says the exception is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chutz miklipe adoshim, hamispashlos imohem. So the Gemara wants to know, the statement of Rabbi Yehuda seems to focus on one particular bean, and that's the lentil bean, and that's cooked together with its shells. Adoshim in pulin lo. What about other beans? You know, there are other beans that have shells, and Vasani we have a brisa, and the brisa says Rabbi Yehuda Omer chutz miklipe pulin vadoshim, that the shells of all beans are considered edible, and therefore that them it's tarif to the shear of a kigrogeres, human consumption. Well, it says lo kasha habachadati habataki batike. There are new beans, fresh beans, and there are older beans, you know, from a month ago or whatever it was. And the older beans, we have to take off the shells, and it seems that that's not the case with regard to lentils. But with regard to other beans, once it gets a little bit stale, it's old produce, we have to clear out the shells. Atiki, my time is low. Why are we so careful to get rid of the shells of old beans? Amar Rabbi Avo, mipnei shenirim kizvuvim bekara, because the shells take on a black color with the passage of time. And it's kind of disgusting to put that on someone's plate, and consider it a nice dish when you have these black things, you know, floating around. The Gemara says actually they look like flies, so it's kind of repulsive. So the old beans, you know, get rid of the shells, and therefore the old shells of old beans have no chshivus, and they're not mitzvah to the shear of grogeris. They're not fit for human consumption. Hadron alecha klal gadol. And Arabosa, we start the eighth parak of Masech to Shabbos, called Hamotzi Yayin. Again, an extension of everything we've been discussing. What are the minimum shiurim? And the Mishnah begins by addressing liquids. We've been talking about solids. So we're talking about human consumption. Hamotzi Yayin, for example, he's carrying wine out. And we're talking about unconcentrated wine, you know, and then they would add water to it. Kidei mezigas hakos, the amount that you would need, that if you would add whatever water you have to add, it would equal to a revius. So you have the concentrate of wine that would eventually yield a cup of wine. A cup of wine is called a revius. Chalav, in the case of milk, kidei gmiya, the amount that he would usually gulp down in a single gulp. And dvash, in the case of honey, kidei litain al hakosis. Apparently, wine had a certain therapeutic value to it, and if a person has a blister or a boil, or sometimes an animal would have such a thing, then you would smear it with honey. And this amount of honey is the shear of otzah for honey. Then we have shemen. Kidei losuch ever katan. In other words, even if you had a small limb, maybe a finger, for example, the Gemara is going to discuss exactly what is the limb, and you would put an anointment of oil on it, that's the minimum shear. Mayim, kidei losuch bahem es hakilar. Okay, Kilar is going to be a whole discussion, very Talmudic kind of entity that was used to for therapeutic value for the eye. And you would mix in to this kind of an ointment a certain amount of water, because without the water it's too strong for the eye, and it could be a danger for the eye. Sharkol Mashkin, as far as all other liquids, with the exception of those enumerated above, is Berevius. The shear is a Revius of liquid. Now, there's a discussion about what the shear of a Revius is, a machlokus between Reb Chaim Noah and the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has the shear of Revius as above 5 ounces, which means you need a real serious cup for that. But Rav Chaim Noah has a shear that's less than 3 ounces. I mean, there's a major difference in how to calculate a revius. And this has a tremendous repercussions all over the show. They say the Chofetz Chaim had a very small Kiddush cup. It was probably, you know, less than 3 ounces. And the word revius means 1/4 of a lug. So the question is how large is a lug is. The chala shofachim berevius. Now the question is wastewater. What do you do with wastewater? Apparently you use it as fertilizer. And therefore if you have a revius amount of wastewater, that also has chashivus to it and you're chayav. Rabbi Shimon omer kulon berevius. V'lo nemru kol hashiurim alolu elo limatzni ehem. In other words, there's an objective shear called a revius for anything that is classified as a liquid. Those cases that are enumerated in our Mishnah which have less than a shear of a revius, that's because he put it away. He stored it. He indicated that for him, it's chashuv. You know, he wants to make a salve. So he has a certain amount of water. He wants to put it on his boils, he has a certain amount of honey, and so forth and so on. But those are exceptions to the rule, and the rule is Ravidus. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Kedei Mezigas Kos Yofer, that you need to be chaya for carrying out wine, enough that you can mix it together with water and end up with a Kos Yofer, nice cup of... So my Kos Yofer. And the answer is Kos Shel Bracha. Bracha means either Sheva Bracha Sadechasana, or the bracha that you make a bris on, Asher Kiddush Mivi Beten, or Birkas HaMazon, or Avdolah. All these are what we call a Kos Shel Bracha. And a Kos Shel Bracha, which has many, many different requirements, but one of them is a certain shear. But, you know, it doesn't tell you what the shear is. Om Rav Nachman, Om Rabba Baravua, Kos Shel Bracha, Tzach Shebo Rova Revius. Why? Kidei Sheyim Zegenu V'yamod Al Revius. The ratio between water and unconcentrated wine is 1-4, which means that you have one part concentrated wine, three parts water, you mix it together, and what you end up with is a revius of yayin that's perfectly drinkable. So that if you carry out a rova revius, a quarter of a revius of pure concentrated wine, you have enough so that you can end up with a Kos Shel Bracha, meaning by adding three parts of water, you'll have a revius. Omar Rav Afanan Nami Tnina. I also have this in our Mishnah. And it says in our Mishnah, Motzi Yayin Kidei Mezigas Kos. So we're now on the top of Daf Ayin Zayin. And you carry out enough wine that if he mixed it together with water, he has enough concentrated wine to create a mezigas kos, a full kosher bracha of a revius. V'tani Allah, kidei mezigas kos yofer. K'tani seifa, ushar kol amashkin b'revius. That all of the liquids, he's chayev for a revius. Okay then, so we really got up to Rava l'tameh. And Rava is accepting the principle that when you're taking out or carrying liquids from one reshus to the other, and if you have an intention to use it as is, then that's an exception to the rule. But with the general rule is concerned, then you need a shear of revius. So once again, in the case of wine, you're going to need this pure concentrated wine, that if you mix that amount of concentrated wine, you'll end up with a revius. And therefore you're chayev for 1/4 of a revius of concentrated wine. Okay.